Welcome to another chat on Awakenings. Today we're speaking about relationship with kids, basically children and lessons and that sort of thing. And I will say that I'm not a child psychologist or a psychologist. Everything I say and what I wrote about is based on experience and understandings and reflections and that sort of thing. So today I'll be sharing some experiences that I've witnessed regarding my own children and some of the opinions that's been thrown my way regarding children or how to rear children. And people have voiced their opinions at times on how I should be, how I should parent. And I've gone through stages. When I was younger, a younger parent, when I was bogged down more so in my mind suffering, you could say, I think I parented through, well, like a lot of people, where I'd parent through guilt here and there, where I'd, you know, you might discipline your child and they feel guilty, so you do something good, then you swing back and forth in a way. And I went through change in 2012 within myself, deep change within myself, and my parenting changed from that time. And I think there's always a struggle with kids where it's a fine line between, like, we don't want to force them. A lot of parents might force the children to be a certain way or do a certain thing, or it's more under the guise of guiding kids aren't experienced, so they don't know. They don't necessarily know the ramifications of the choices. So it's a matter of guiding them to, I feel, to make the best choice based on the information that you can offer them that they can consider. So in short, I'm going to share some of my experiences that brought about understanding on a deeper level for me and in how I parent. So my oldest son had tough times, and I think any child whose parents go through separation has a tough time for sure. I remember my parents were separated, and I remember even during their struggles when they were together. This is when I remember incidences when I was 5 and 6, and some of the incidences and arguments that, and sort of altercations my parents had, I blamed myself for them. And I didn't realize until I was 18, thereabouts, when I was playing football, it was impacting me. I'm not sure if I've told this story, but I went through, over a period of time playing football, if I got injured playing, I'm pretty sure I spoke about this, but I'll say it again. Probably a video a while ago, but I remember playing football, if I got a bit injured or a bit hurt, a voice in my head would go, "Well, you deserve that pain." And I started over a couple of years just thinking, yeah, I deserve it. And then to combat that, instead of just arguing, no, I don't, you know, that play within the mind, I'd just go, yeah, I love it. I thought, okay, if I deserve it, I might just enjoy it. And not that I'm into pain or anything like that, but it's, I just use it as fuel, like to fuel the fire to make myself more aggressive on the football field. So instead of resisting it or running from it or trying to compete against it, I decided to use it in a way. And then when I was 18, this is throughout my teenage years, and when I was 18, I just lost some drive on the football field, and I have momentary lapses during the field. So very interesting life. I had a mentor, a hypnotherapist, very good friend of mine, became a very good friend, Rudy Talmack. Such a great guy, great family he had. And he mentored me, and so he advised me to improve myself to do my diploma in clinical hypnosis when I was going on 20, which is a bit unusual, but I was seeking answers to my momentary lapses. And what the reason I'm telling you this is because I realized that I had a flashback when I was driving one time in Parramatta. So I played for Parramatta for a few years, Parramatta Eels at the time. And I remember during an altercation with my parents, it came to me. I was about 5 or 6 years old, and I remember thinking, I hate myself for being so young and not being able to help. And that really impacted me. And I learned through hypnosis that memory is often stored through smells and emotional traumas and that sort of thing. The deeper the trauma, the deeper the impact and the memory. And it can remain hidden for a while, but it can slowly play itself out. It's like a poison buried deep within your psyche that can slowly leak out in certain circumstances and certain experiences that you have. It accesses that point. It's blocking the pathway through happiness with regard to an experience. And it sounds complex, and I guess it is to some degree, but the moral of the story is everything impacts us, so we must try and understand and get in touch with our inner child. Having an insight and realizing that of what I said to myself inwardly when I was 5 or 6 years old, it released me. I found another side of me that healed a part of me, you could say. There's another incident where, so this is the impact of our traumas and that sort of thing. With my oldest son, who's 19 now, and he's pretty amazing. All my kids are amazing. All kids are amazing. I remember when I was going through separation with my ex-wife, and no condemnation here either on either part. Like, everyone has beautiful hearts and everyone gets frustrated at times. And if you're not aware, resentment can grow on all sides. But my son, with our circumstances, he was going through some tough times, as all children do. And I realized that on some level he was feeling squashed, seemed to be at school a bit, and he wasn't being nurtured as children should be, and not many children are. So at times he would irritate people. And I had friends that would say at times, you need to be harder on him and make him do this and make him do the right thing. And not that he was certainly not a bad child and didn't do any real bad things or anything like that. It's just basic manners and simple things here and there. And like with a lot of children, if they're not being valued like they should, and this is, I feel, in a number of areas, then they rebel. And I remember at times I would react to him. And then the interesting thing, and this is, I think, a key, probably the most important part of this conversation, is that instead of making others or children or other people conform to my idea of how people should be, I was on my own journey as well as being a parent, and I did a lot of soul searching. And as I discovered things within myself, my parenting would change. I went through a profound change in 2012, and that's in my book, that experience, and Awakening to Life's Journey. And after I went through this change, I saw my son through different eyes, and I realized that he was feeling squashed on some level, and psychically, it could be a hard thing to put your head around in a way, but, you know, I do energy work and different things. Energetically, my son was like sticking his fingers up to everyone. He resisted within himself. And I felt like he just didn't really feel like he was valued enough or seen. So he'd potentially get under your skin. And I realized when I found a deeper peace within myself that he didn't know how to express himself. He felt squashed, so not being able to express himself. So there was an energetic irritation that he'd give off at times, because a number of people around him, he'd get under their skin. I had people say to me, "No, you need to be harder on him." And because I had seen far more clearly and saw more deeply into myself, when people or friends advised me, or other kids advised me to be harder on him, I said, no. I said, I could force him to comply and be how I think he should be. But then he's changing his way through fear. I said, I would rather understand him, nurture him, and encourage him to be the right way. And then he'll change because he feels respect and feel more valued by me and others around him potentially. And the amazing thing is he transformed his life. And the difference was, it's so profound. He mentioned to me last year, he said that, I'll put it this way, he's mentioned to me in the past that when I went through my change, a voice in his head said, "Dad can help you on some level." And so he was seeking answers, and he wanted the understanding or some understanding. And he saw the change within me major walls had broken down within me. So he was willing. But the only reason I feel was because my approach was different, truly different. I wasn't pretending. I saw him on a deeper level. And I said to him, I can show you another way. I said, but it will take time. And every time he came to my place for weekends, we'd talk about different things and I'd give him things to consider when he went home and for our school and for dealing with other people. And he's amazing, if I may say so myself. And obviously you know him, Linda, you know what he's like. He's a very deep thinker.
Amazing.
Yeah. I really feel that there's another key thing here, that there's a number of things that I'd like to talk about through my experience. When dealing with teenagers or speaking to them and you can't carry anyone on your back, they have to be willing to walk themselves. I feel it's important to offer understanding rather than judgment on how they are, how they feel, because it's their interpretation of life puts them in a place they're in. And it's not always easy to pull them out, and sometimes you can't. But I feel that the greatest chance is to offer a sense of understanding. And it can be hard too. And I'm going to actually say this. I thought about this beforehand and I wasn't sure whether I'd put it out there, but I'm going to. I feel in relationships or breakups, it's important. And this is one of the things that I really like about Dr. Phil. He has said, if you shame the parent, you shame the child. And I really feel that if you tell a child that their other parent is full of it, or they're liars, or they're this, or they're that, then at different stages throughout a child's life, they might rely more on the father or more on the mother. And you want them to feel that they can rely on both. And if a child's going through a tough time and they feel like they need the father or the mother, and you say they're full of it, they're like this, they're like that, they're liars, then you can take away the capacity or the possibility or opportunity for that child to go to that parent and seek understanding, because they may think there are no answers, there is no way forward. And even if a parent doesn't, let's face it, not all parents know everything. If a parent, even if their demeanor or they don't get along with the other parent or a relation or so, it doesn't mean that everything that they think and feel is wrong. There may be confusion, they may be mixed up to some degree, I feel. The interpretation might be incorrect, but where it comes to a child and a circumstance that the child may be dealing with, they might just have the answer. They might just give a sense of hope or something that the child needs. So I would say, don't bag the other parent, because they may just, even though you may not like them, they may just offer something to a child or a friend that they need, a sense of hope or something. But to squash the other person, and then to say that don't go to them, or, and then, I feel it needs to be said. I've had people that haven't liked me that has said I'm full of shit or I'm a liar because, of disagreements in the past. What point is there of that? It's not necessary. So I strongly suggest that if parents break up, or if there's an issue, don't bag the other parent, because personalities clash. It doesn't mean that everything about the person's trash. So whether you like the person or not, it's like this could be censored from, it could be taken down from this very next moment. It's like Trump, where it's the policies, not the person. Like I don't ring Trump and talk to him. It's the policies. So personality sometimes clash over a period of time, or something happens, can happen. It doesn't mean that everything about the person is wrong. That's for everyone. And I feel like it's we need to be aware, because kids can be thrown in the middle of contentious situations between parents, and there's no need for that. I think it needs to be said. When at 9 o'clock, my mind started going on all the kids about kids, all the things, aspects of children to talk about, and these things popped into my mind. What are you going to say?
I was just thinking, we've been through similar situations since with our foster child. We've got one of the parents that we have plenty of issues with, but we try not to discuss that in front of the child, because at the end of the day, it's not our job to decide for her what kind of person her biological parent is. That's up for her to decide later on in life when she learns more about herself. So I figured, you know, even though we have a disagreement, we don't include her in any of that.
Yeah.
So I figure, you know, later on in life, that parent will reveal to her who he is.
This situation happens for a lot of people, and I'm not talking about anyone individually. I'm just saying in general, this can happen and does happen. So there's certainly no personal attacks on anyone in this conversation, but it's something that I've noticed and we've all experienced to some degree. So obviously our role as parents is to say, I'd rather give children the opportunity to think that everyone has something to offer to some degree.
Yep.
That may vary. And it can vary depending on someone's emotional state. So a parent, if they're emotional, they'll have typically a lot less to offer than when they're not, but they're not always emotional, your parents and family, that sort of thing. So to say that everything they say is a lie or they're full of it or something like that, it will never be like that. And we shouldn't say things like that. So it's something I feel we all need to be aware of as parents. So I think the other key thing, as mentioned with my son, who's 19, he was willing, I offered him understanding and nurtured him through. And I gave him insights. We discussed insights or understandings on thinking like this will lead you here, thinking like that will lead you over there, and the obstacles in trying to go one way as opposed to the other. And it's easy to think that if we think this way, if we, you know, parents will say, just forget this or just forget that. And it's like, well, you know, if a child is more aware, they go, well, do you forget the stuff that's, you don't like that? And most parents will go, well, no, I just bury it down deeply. Well, you're not really forgetting. You're just compiling it on top of each other. So, which it can come back and seep out later in certain situations, like what I shared about myself with my experiences growing up. So, yeah, I feel it's about, instead of just telling the children to do what we can't, just say, let's work through it together. Let's unravel it. Let's discuss it. Let's, is this person that may have judged you or been mean to you, how are they? Like, how do they sit in themselves? Or it's not easy for a child to understand this, but it's, you know, are they angry? Do they pick on everyone? Are they, are they jealous of something? And then they realize it's not. And it's very hard, even when you realize this, it's a very hard thing to accept that someone, they may be jealous or they may be competing or they may feel insecure. They might be jealous of some aspect of yourself. Yeah, it's not easy. There's another point I'd like to discuss, which is an experience when I was at your place, Linda, with the kids. Share a situation I witnessed and participated in with regard to children. There were some kids playing together. There was a few of us friends around. The kids came out and said, oh, one of the child's been misbehaving. When I went looking for this child was hiding. This child thought they were in trouble. And I think this is a key thing, because most parents by far, if they're looking for a child and the child's hiding, they would think they're guilty.
Yeah.
And you'd assume that, wouldn't you, for sure? They're hiding. They know they're in trouble.
Mission guilt.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So you'd get them out of where they are. This child is under the bed. Get them out and you'd smack them or punish them and that's it. And then there'd be the other children may feel righteous and the other one's in trouble, and then that's not exactly healthy. And sometimes something like that may be necessary to some degree, depending on, you know, the punishment and that sort of thing, or I like to think the understanding rather than punishment.
Yeah.
But when I found this child, I said, okay, come on. I was calm. And I said, come sit next to me. And I said, so what happened? And this child said, oh, I can't remember. I said, yeah, you can tell me. I said, how am I? Am I angry? And they said, no. I said, well, if you share, and this is someone that I know quite well. It wasn't a random child that I went up to and started talking to. Obviously, there was this rapport. And this child couldn't remember sort of would have said, no, I can't remember. And I said, well, I know why you can lash out at times is because you're not included, and I understand that. So if you can share, we can try and sort this out. And my reaction initially wasn't at all, you're in trouble. Or you come here, tell me, what have you done? What have you done? Nothing like that. I wanted understanding first. And this is how we should be with ourselves as well, as with children, but especially with children. So he couldn't remember what had happened. So he said, so I called in the other child that was part of that situation, and he started telling the story. And then the first one that was hiding said, no, it's not what happened. It's not what happened. And I said, oh, I thought you forgot what happened. I said, so tell me what had happened. And then they both shared in part of the story. Because I hadn't already judged, I was trying to seek understanding myself of the situation. The second child just happened to say, oh, well, so-and-so was about to react like they do at home. So I pulled them away. I went, oh. I said, so this child didn't actually do anything. They were about to do something and you stopped them. And the other child said, yes. I said, okay, so really you should have warned them not to do it. And if they had done that, you should have come and got me or a parent. So I said, you actually jumped the gun because you assumed that what has happened in the past was going to happen again. And I said, so the original child that was hiding hadn't really actually at that point hadn't done anything wrong. And so they both looked at me, it was a bit surprised in a way, but I still wasn't, no one was in trouble. And I said, you both need to apologize and it's all okay. And I said, sorry. And then there was understanding, whether they're aware of it or not, there's understanding. I didn't judge. It's not black and white. I wanted to get to the bottom of it, and I was looking for the key things that were said in the story. Then literally we're at your house, Linda, 5 minutes later, they're all playing happily. And I feel it's important to just offer that things aren't always as they appear with children and adults. That if I had have condemned or came down hard on that child or parent had of on the child that was hiding, then there will be a separation within the dynamics of the kids playing where they'll gang up and the other one hadn't actually done anything wrong, and there'd be a bit of a rift, you could say, and the other one might have been punished, say, for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or a bit longer, or put aside or can't play with the other kids for the rest of the day. All based on a misunderstanding. But instead, 5 minutes later, they're all playing happily. There was no resentment and everything was fine. And everyone was valued because there was understanding, no judgment. This is the sentiment we must carry. And so I'm not a psych, but to me, this is common sense. And to get access, in my experience, to not judge so quickly, you have to get in touch and not judge yourself. It's a direct mirror of how you treat yourself. The last place you think would be, okay, as you get in touch with how you're feeling and your sensitivity and your way, it'll give you insight into others. It's actually like that. It's exactly like that. So the incentive is, I truly feel through my own experience that as you start nurturing yourself and taking time for yourself and valuing who you are, then you'll see what you'll see a way in to help value others and give them a sense of that as well, without judging and without condemning. One's a nice, soft, beautiful way to live, and the other one's a harsh place to live where there's anger, frustration, life feels unfair, you don't feel seen. So I feel it's very important to remember with children that the world has to be full of opportunities and we must take caution. We must be careful. I tell my kids to question everything. Don't take anything for granted. You can't trust every adult. You can't trust every child. So go with caution and learn how to nurture yourself and be aware of others. And it's amazing. This will, I think we'll finish with shortly, but I'll just go to, I think this is an important part of this. Nurturing yourself is a key thing. It really comes down to, gives you great insight. It really does. So I hope this gives insight into possibly some of your experiences and into parenting and considerations for children and their experiences and what things aren't as they appear. So Seek understanding first. Judgments, hopefully not at all. So, and remember, if you must judge, judge the situation or the action, not the person. So we all need nurturing. Anything to add, Linda?
No, all good. Thank you.
Okay, cool. All right, all good. Stay tuned till next time. Thanks. Bye for now.